Hello, this is Monocle Reads. I'm Georgina Godwin, and I'm talking to the writer Kate Hodges, whose new book, Warriors, Witches, Women, Celebrating Mythology's Fiercest Females, unpicks the patriarchal narratives that have shaped history thus far and retells the stories of powerful female figures, from feminist fairies to blood-sucking temptresses, half-human harpies and protective voodoo goddesses. Warriors, Witches, Women does away with stereotypes and explores these fascinating characters from a modern feminist perspective. Now, Kate is a magazine journalist. She's covered popular culture from chart music to London living and environmental parenting. For this project, she delved deep into the tantalising world of myth, legend and mysticism, a world which is gaining millennial audiences as society experiences something of a spiritual renaissance today. Kate, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Just looking back over your back catalogue, of course, you've written on all of those things. You've written about London living, you've written about environmental parenting or rewilding children, and of course about myth and legend and the occult here in London. Give us an idea of some of your previous work.
I was a magazine journalist for more years than I care to mention, 25 years. I worked on magazines like first on Just 17 and Smash Hits, and then I was on The Face. I edited the front section of The Face magazine for years. Then I had children and I moved to the coast and I started writing books. So I did books about London, books about things to do with your children in London, and books about occult London. And now I'm kind of revisiting a really early love of mine, which is myths and legends. And I've written Warriors, Witches, Women.
It looks a fantastic book. Just before we get onto it in detail, tell me a tiny bit about occult London. Where does one plug into the spirits here, and why are we all suddenly so much more interested in it?
Well, you can plug into the spirits all over London, I think. It seems like around every corner there's some little kind of memory of there's Aleister Crowley's house, or there's some ghostly goings-on in Highgate Cemetery and vampires. This kind of, I think London is just so crammed with layers of history that there's almost too much going on. I mean, British Museum is probably the best place to start if you want to look into the history of occult London and then kind of fan out from there.
Why do you think there has been such a resurgence of mysticism in millennial culture? I mean, not just sort of the occult, but also astrology, for instance.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I mean, I think there has been this resurgence in tarot reading and witchery and magic. And I think perhaps millennials, obviously there's a decline in formal religion. And I think probably in school there's not so much formal religion being taught. But I think millennials are probably being taught about multiplicity of religions in a way that perhaps people before weren't taught about. And so they just see mysticism and the occult as another thing to explore, perhaps. Also, I think it's probably disillusionment with politicians and disillusionment with the establishment that's led them to kind of seek solace and explore other avenues, perhaps, as well.
Mm. Well, let's talk about this new book of yours, which is fascinating. And your goddesses come from really diverse cultures. Tell us about them, because you've got one from the Shinto religion of Japan, you've got a goddess from Burkina Faso, you've got ancient Greece, of course. Tell us a little bit about some of those.
I tried to cast the net as widely as possible, because I think we generally know about the goddesses of ancient Greece and of the Roman goddesses, more the classic goddesses. But I tried to go a little bit further, dig a little bit deeper, went to Mexico and ancient Egypt and Australia and China and kind of Eastern Europe. I wanted to take in more stories, make it more colourful, more diverse. I also tried to kind of find goddesses who weren't necessarily straight, weren't necessarily even female. They're kind of, there's some gender fluid ones in there too.
Mm. Who are your favourites to write about?
I think my absolute favourite, who was kind of a new one to me, was Mamiwata, who's an African goddess. She's a water goddess, originally was a pantheon of water goddess. And I was really interested in her, firstly because her look, she looks fantastic. She's like half woman, half fish. She's a mermaid character. She loves herself. She's in love with her own reflection. She's beautiful. She loves money. She brings people money. She's a kind of happy, joyous goddess. But also, I loved her story and how it evolved. So, you know, she started off as an African water goddess, but then her story got taken through Africa and codified by traders from Europe. And then when the slave trade started and thousands of Africans were taken to America, put into these terrible, terrible conditions in the Americas, they took her with them and they'd worship her. And they had a really sort of specific way of worshipping her through an intense dance. And that got them through the tough days in America and in the Americas. And gradually she became creolized and became part of the voodoo religion. And it's just that story, I think her story tells a story of people too.
And how all of this mutates through time. It's particularly pertinent telling it from a feminist perspective at this post-Me Too time. How long has the book been in the works? I mean, was Me Too something that spoke to you as you were writing it?
Absolutely, yeah, that informed it. That totally informed it. I think kind of Me Too informed it. Also, the kind of rise in witchcraft. I kept seeing on the news there'd be these little groups of young women who were trying to hex Donald Trump. And that really kind of inspired me and just thought, oh, it's a new take. Old stories, these old archetypes for something very modern and new. And Me Too as well. I think a lot of there's the story of Cassandra, who kind of illustrates the Me Too movement beautifully. And she was a Greek prophet who after she refused to have sex with somebody, and so she was cursed. All her prophecies were true, but none of them were believed. And that really kind of resonates with the Me Too movement, I think.
I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Because as women, we can be revered as goddesses or absolutely reviled as witches.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think sometimes some of these stories in one person would be revered as a goddess. And, you know, within centuries or even decades, they'd been vilified, literally demonized, and turned into this figure of hate because they symbolized an older religion or they symbolized something that historians or writers coming in despised. And so that their stories were kind of turned around and they were, even one person could represent both of those things.
Yeah. I'm interested in Shinto. Tell me about your Japanese goddess.
I love my Japanese goddess. It's Ame no Uzume. So she was a fun-loving goddess. She's the goddess of dance, of dawn and mirth and revelry. And she was just a fun party girl, almost. She saved the country because the sun goddess, Amaterasu, had gone into hiding in a cave. And the sun had disappeared from the country. It needed to be brought back again. So Ame no Uzume went outside the cave. She got a mirror and she did a dance. And she took her clothes off. She wasn't wearing any underwear. And she did a dance on a drum. And the sun goddess was so curious about this. She came peeping out the cave. And then they rolled back the stone of the cave. And she was out again. And the sun was shining again. And I love the kind of lightness of that story. And the fun. And she's not this serious, munificent goddess with kind of long hair who kind of floats about the place. She's a real person. It really resonates, I think.
Absolutely. Who doesn't want to dance in the sun with no knickers on?
Yes, exactly that. Yeah, wouldn't she be brilliant at a party? And I love the fact that still today, kind of there's drumming groups named for her. She's inspired the drums in Shinto religious ceremonies. And I love that. I love that she's alive through music today.
Yeah, a wonderful book. And just so many interesting stories in there. And I just wonder, you've written on such an eclectic range of topics. And of course, you're a musician as well. You belong to a couple of bands.
Yeah.
But you've written from sort of insider guides to London, as you say, pop music, the environment, and now mysticism. What would you say is the common strand that unites your writing?
Oh, that's a really good question. I like the unusual. I like things that you have to dig deep to find and to research. So even my guides to London, they weren't straightforward. I like to uncover things that maybe people don't know about and shine a light on them and bring them into a kind of more popular culture arena.
Absolutely. Well, you've totally done that in this book. Thank you so much to you, Kate Hodges.
Thank you for having me.
Warriors, Witches, Women, Celebrating Mythology's Fiercest Females is published by White Lion and it's out now. You've been listening to Monocle Reads. Thanks to the production team of Nora Hull and Madeline Pollard. I'm Georgina Godwin. Thank you for listening.